Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. We hope you all enjoyed our first official video podcast last week. And if you didn't, well, just close your eyes and it'll feel like the audio ones. In any case, we have an excellent podcast in store for everyone today. Later, executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse will join us to discuss last week's mind-warping episode. They'll also be prepping you for this week's adventure, The Glass Ballerina, which airs Wednesday, October 11th from 9 to 10 p.m., only on ABC. First up, though, a few words from one of the show's newest additions, actress Elizabeth Mitchell.
Where are my friends?
Come down from the table first.
You want me to come down? Come in here and get me down.
If you want to talk, I'm happy.
Tell me where my friends are!
I will, if you let go of the chain.
You think I'm stupid?
I don't think you're stupid, Jack. I think you're stubborn.
While many out there may or may not know of actress Elizabeth Mitchell, she's been around for a while and has made quite a name for herself. She's guest starred in television shows as diverse as House and ER, and she's played opposite Tim Allen as Mrs. Claus in Santa Claus 2. Despite all that experience, though, this role still represents a fresh challenge for her.
My character's name is Juliet, and she's one of the others. And she's fairly mysterious still to everyone else, especially in the first episode. But she has some really great stuff with Jack.
The drugs we gave you when we brought you here have a fairly serious side effect, dehydration. Your head is probably sore, your throat is raw, and if you don't eat or drink something soon, you're going to start hallucinating.
So you're a doctor, huh?
No. I'm a repo woman.
It's probably one of the more difficult women that I've ever had a chance to play. She has so many different layers. I mean, in my way of thinking, she's not necessarily the bad guy. She's not necessarily the good guy. And I think that's what this show strikes the chord in, is that these people, there's so much going on. There's so many layers. And you don't get a chance to do that all the time. I imagine she probably has a fairly good sense of humor. And we did find a little bit of stuff when we were going through there. So I think there's even a little bit of comedy in there. Even though you don't necessarily think of Lost as a comedy, it does have its moments. The writing is so brilliant and so right on as to the human condition that I think she's fascinating. I don't think I've ever been able to ever or been allowed to play a character like her. I feel really blessed. When I read the first script, I was like, bah, I can't believe it. They want me to do this. And it just happened. It's great.
Of course, the physicality that Lost demands of its actors only adds to that challenge.
They basically set it up, and then they're like, okay, so then you're going to swim through the rapids and grab onto the door, and then it's going to take you away. And I was like, okay, my heart starts to beat. I was like, it was wonderful. It was so much fun. I mean, I do swim, so, I can swim. Hopefully it looks all right. See, now if you watch it and you're like, yeah, come on. But there's something wonderful about stunts because there's really no acting. I mean, you are fairly terrified, and you are trying to make it work, and your heart is going a million miles a minute. You know, and I get to grab Jack, which is fun. It's nice to save people.
As any actor will tell you, joining a show midstream is tough, especially if you've been a fan for a long time.
Yeah, I was. I watched it from the very beginning, actually. It actually happens a lot that you come on and you already know everybody. They're like, hi, I'm, Matt, or I'm so-and-so, and you're like, yeah, I know. But it's interesting. I don't have the urge to call everyone by their character name, although I do know their character's names. It's not usually confused in my head. What I really enjoyed was the fact that everybody was so kind. That was surprising to me. That you would have a cast this big and that you don't have any prima donnas or anyone being essentially difficult. You really just have a group of hardworking actors. Even as big as it's gotten, you still have a group of hardworking actors. That's nice.
While Elizabeth Mitchell may be a fan, we've yet to see a fan question from her. You all, on the other hand, are very good at submitting questions. Here now to answer a few of them are executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse.
Hello, Damon.
Hi, Carlton.
And welcome to our Season 3 inaugural audio podcast.
I like that there's now a difference between the video. We're moving on up. We're branching out.
I think there's a profound difference between our audio podcast and our video podcast.
There is a profound difference, and that's that people don't have to look at us.
That is far superior.
Which I think is, you know, definitely a vast improvement. Having seen the video podcast on my computer, it was more apparent to me than ever that why would anyone ever want to look at us?
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, you know, Matthew Fox doesn't like to watch himself on screen either. So, you know, it's more a question of that than it not being that you weren't good. How many negatives did I use in that sentence?
What's the difference between Matthew Fox and me? What is the difference? Oh, he's wildly attractive. In any case.
Oh, going fishing now. No, Damon, you're wildly attractive, too.
Carlton, we said we would just down the quotient just a little bit just for today.
Okay.
So there will be more video podcasts at varying points over the course of the season, but next time I think we should probably wear makeup or have fancy lighting effects and...
Or hire actors to play us.
Yeah, or hire actors to play us. That's the best
better.
Idea. Ted Danson could play you.
And David Cross could play you.
That's wonderful.
Excellent.
Let's talk a little bit about...
Can I ask you just, though, like, if there was an ideal person that you would have play you, who would that be?
Billy Dee Williams.
Awesome!
Yeah, I'm a big Lando man, and I just
That's
feel
fantastic.
That he has always encapsulated the real soul of the person that I am.
Yeah.
But, and you? If you had to pick the dream casting?
George Clooney.
Awesome. That's a good idea. I was going to go Julie Andrews, but
well,
George Clooney's awesome.
Maybe Julie Andrews.
Very talented.
She's a little older than me.
Hey, let's talk about the
show. Okay, the show.
A Tale of Two Cities.
That first 5 minutes, do you think that we should talk about that?
Yeah, it's always nerve-wracking for us as producers when the network sells.
Don't miss the first 5 minutes of
Lost. Your firstborn will be sold if you do not watch the first 5 minutes of Lost.
It's the greatest 5 minutes of television ever.
If you're going to watch 5 minutes of television this year.
In your
by
life.
The way, who watches 5 minutes of television?
That's it. I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm going to SportsCenter.
But we thought, you know, okay, well, it's pretty cool. And we were using the same gag, essentially, that we used last year, which is we want the audience to think that they're in a flashback. And, in fact, they are on the island. And we weren't sure that it would actually work twice. But I think, you know, in combination with Elizabeth Mitchell, who we'll talk about in a moment.
That plane crash, though, was very powerful. And we still have a lot of other perspectives. I mean, there still is, like, the guy in the washroom when the plane crashed. There's the, you know, the guy flying out of the tail section when the plane crashed. I mean, we could probably recycle that puppy.
You don't want to
at least another 10 more
you're
times.
You're giving away our premieres now for seasons 4 through 6, respectively.
Let me ask you a question. How do you think we should do the plane crash for the zombie season? What would be a good way to actually execute a version of the plane crash for the zombie season?
Do you think the zombies would see the plane crash, or they're probably too busy eating dead bodies?
Yeah.
In any case... I think, you know, big shout-outs to Kevin Blank and Jay Worth, who worked, you know, on that. That plane is completely digital. It is not even, it's not like they built a model or anything.
It's not like we bought a plane and flew it over the island and blew it up in midair.
No, that probably would have generated some bad press for us. But it just, that effect was really,
we like that effect.
It's sunk or swim on the reality of that, and... Then it was also great to see William Maypole there and Brett Cullen, Ethan and Goodwin, respectively, alive again and basically being sent to their deaths by Ben / Henry. Although, it was just cool. It was a cool idea to give the audience a little glimpse at what life was like for the others before 8:15 crashed. And that's all you get.
Right. Like, although we'll be revisiting that others where the others lived.
Yeah,
you
but
think?
It'll be a while before you get the flashbacks that basically detail, you know, what the other's life on the island was like before 8:15. You'll get it, but like all good things on Lost, you must wait. And for those of you who don't want to wait, Criminal Minds is fantastic this year. It really is. I hear Mandy Patinkin is going to catch a serial killer next week, so you might want to check that out.
Oh, my God.
That's the word on the streets.
So, can we talk a little bit about Carl? Who is Carl? And, you know, I think there's a lot of speculation that Carl might be another sort of a plant, like Michelle Rodriguez when she was down in the Tiger Pit last year.
And, oh, yeah. Well, we've already done that gag.
Yeah, so, I mean, would we do that gag twice?
I wouldn't put it above us, or us above that, whatever I want to say.
Yeah, creative bankruptcy is our stock and trade.
Carl is not a plant. He is legitimately an other who is legitimately trying to escape and has legitimately been beaten up. But the reasons why are yet to be discovered.
Yes, and he will be back as well.
I would say you'll have a very good idea about who Carl is and why he was caged by the end of the sixth episode.
Right.
Which is our little mini-season finale.
And we've really just kind of finished the writing for that.
If his name is Carl. Which it is.
Exactly.
But I just wanted to be dramatic.
Did you know that it's actually an anagram for Lark?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And also Ralk.
Maybe he'll be on Shrek.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Elizabeth Mitchell. Obviously,
oh my God, Elizabeth Mitchell, she's awesome.
We have introduced this new character, Juliet, onto the show this year. She is the other who is basically questioning Jack. And every time we cast a new actor on the show, especially in, you know, in sort of a pivotal role, I mean, she, in the same way that Desmond opened up season two, you know, Elizabeth opens, you know, Juliet opens up season three. So, you know, her abilities and sort of really emotionally investing us in these characters and starting to think there's more to them than meets the eye, I think, is all hinging on her performance. And it's just been awesome, you know, writing for Juliet.
Yeah, I mean, we have actually, obviously, we know a lot more about where the character is going in the show and have seen a lot more film on her than you guys have seen. But we really love her as an actor and are very excited about this character's role in the show, and you'll be seeing a lot more of her very soon.
Yes. Awesome.
Her relationship with Jack is very complex.
Yes, it is. Yes. Just like my relationship with you, Carlton. Hey.
Not that complex.
It's time for some pre-hashing.
Okay, let's pre-hash about the Glass Ballerina. What kind of title is that for a Lost episode?
It sounds like a very fancy title, and by fancy I mean, you know, that kind, the kind of fancy.
That sounds like a Ghost Whisperer title.
The Glass Ballerina. It sounds fairly pretentious. But
it really
then again,
is.
You know.
Is this a pretentious episode?
I think it's safe to say that you will know why the episode is called The Glass Ballerina within the first 4 seconds of the episode. It's not one of those episodes like Live Together, Die Alone, where you have no idea at the end what the hell that meant.
Why is it
called Solitary? Or Collision?
Wow.
But this is a literal
Sun and Jin flashback story.
Could you be any more excited about that?
It's a Sun and Jin flashback story. It's awesome.
Are we gonna, Carlton? Are we gonna find out if Sun was messing around on Jin in this episode?
We are gonna find that out.
Will you tell me?
No.
How about now?
Still not yet. Maybe
what
later.
What if I put my hand on your neck?
Then definitely not.
No. All right.
Oh my God.
What are there any other hints? So basically,
yes,
it's just going to be
for you.
It's just going to be Sun and Jin and Saeed, and we're not going to see any more of the Kate Sawyer exploits.
I mean, come on, how can we go away from that captivity story? That was so good last week, and there's more. There's more to that story in this week's episode too.
What about Locke and Desmond and Mr. Echo? What about those guys?
Nope.
Not
this week.
I want to find out about them, though.
Next week.
But Desmond turned that key, and there was a big purple light in the sky. And
I know. There's really, you know, just a little patience.
Why are you withholding that from me?
Because we're trying to make the show like Twin Peaks this year.
Oh, excellent. Well, good. Good to know. Hey, it's time for
fan questions. Play the music, Chris.
Woo!
Okay. Awesome. All right. You want to go first?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
My first question, Carlton.
Yes, Damon.
Is from Rose's War. Wow. And her subject is Ms. Clue. I was just wondering where the fine sista, Ms. Clue, was hiding in last night's episode. I'm sure she'll pop up later, but she was a prominent character in the season finale, but was nowhere to be seen in the season premiere.
Yeah, well, that's kind of unfortunate. But Ms. Clue will be back at a certain point this season. There are a lot of others, and we're basically introducing the audience to some of the other characters.
Would you say, Carlton, that not all of the others are there in this little zoo enclosure that that Kate and Sawyer and Jack seem to be being kept in?
Is that a leading question?
I don't know.
I think it is, and I would say yes. That would be a fair assessment. Not all the others are in this in the Hydra Station.
So
we taught the Hydra Station. So, everybody knows the Hydra Station.
So I can conclude from this answer that you would in fact say that there are other others.
There are other others in other places.
Maybe in season four.
Wow. That would be a song. We should have somebody, if you want to write that as a song and send it in to us, please do.
It sounds like a Cat
Stevens
song.
There are others in other places.
I think that season four should be the season about the other others.
And if we like your song, we'll play it on our podcast.
No, we won't.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Damon, my turn here.
Please.
Are the producers, that would be you and me, going to have podcasts like did last year, or is it just going to be a video podcast this year? I really enjoy listening to the podcast on my iPod at work, but if they have a video podcast, I can't get that on my iPod. So are there going to be audio podcasts this year?
I think that's a very polite way of that person. Who's that from?
That would be from DomFan324.
Okay, Dom Monahan. First off, you don't have to disguise your name. And secondly, if you don't want to see us, you can just say it. Our feelings won't be hurt. But yeah, obviously, if you're listening to this on your iPod, the answer is your question is answered, or your answer is questioned, either or, whatever works for you.
Exactly.
All right, Carlton. This is from Dickie Crickets. And the question is, are the others Canadians? A Canadian friend of mine noted that whenever you find out about an other, they happen to mention they are from Canada. Is this coincidence or what? Will we find out this season if the others are from Canada? Does Canada have some vast secret island for experimentation on other cultures? What's the deal with Canada?
Well, there's actually a portal from Canada to the island, and that's actually sort of a revelation that you'll find in season 5.
I can't believe you just gave that away.
I'm sorry. All the bad others are from Tallahassee.
That would be awesome if the ultimate twist in Lost, and finally in season 11 when the show ends, that was the big twist, was some sort of Canadian connection. I think the audience would find that enormously satisfying.
I think they would. They really would. Should it be a French Canadian or
any kind of Canadian?
Any kind of Canadian.
I think, you know, the reality is that Canada is a sleeping dragon, you know, and I think everybody in the entire world is aware that they are up to no good up there. They're doing something, and
they're just preparing to conquer the world.
That's season 11 right there.
There it is.
I'm going to write that down since we're making it up as we go along.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a quick question, then I'm going to ask you a longer question.
Okay. All right.
The quick question is, what Stephen King book were they reading at the beginning at the book club?
Well, this is a fun game that people have been sort of playing, and I don't know if I want to spoil it.
Yeah.
Because if you do your homework on Stephen King book covers, you will find out what it is, because we used a fairly rare book cover for that particular edition of that particular Stephen King book. And some people have been surmising that it was The Stand, but The
Stand is pretty thick, isn't
it? The girth of that book would not indicate that it was The Stand. So we'll rule out The Stand.
Girth. That's good. Good word.
And we'll allow you to continue playing but
you got to know we love Stephen King. As a matter of fact, the coolest thing that we did in the last couple of months was going and seeing Stephen King, who did we had a roundtable conversation, Damon and myself and J.J. Abrams and Stephen King, along with Jeff Jensen, who is, of course, the non-resident expert on all things Lost, who writes for Entertainment Weekly. And that creative discussion is going to be in an issue of Entertainment Weekly later this month, I believe.
Nice plug.
Well, I'm excited to read it myself. I can't remember what we said, but it was so cool at the time.
There wasn't really a round table there either, although I guess it was a round table discussion. And we went and saw a movie with him, which was
We went and saw a horror movie with Stephen King.
Yeah.
I mean, how iconic is that? That was just the greatest thing ever.
Here's a hint for you, actually. We won't tell you what horror movie we saw, but during that horror movie, there was a shot in it or a moment where Stephen King turned to us and basically said, "Hey, this is just like my book blank," and that's the book that we used in the opening.
Right.
So if you've seen that horror movie, which came out about a month ago, that we saw with Stephen King, you'll then know what the book was.
Here's another clue. During the movie, he also turned to us and said, "That's what my leg looked like after the accident."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which was...
That's not really a clue. That's just sort of a...
Well, it's a clue as to what the movie was.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah. It was great. It was awesome. So, anyway...
Here's another clue. The movie was not The Covenant. Is that the one with the four guys and they, like, have magic powers?
Oh, yeah, the guys. Yeah, that was
It was
cool.
not that movie.
But, you know, did those guys light stuff up with their eyes? Because if there's anything that... Any movie that does that, I want to see.
Thanks for sharing. Hey, Carlton,
I didn't get to ask you the other part of my question.
Oh, okay, shoot.
Let me just finish.
Yes.
After reviewing the hospital scene several times, I'm very certain that the patient lying in the hospital bed was Zeke. In addition, the Asian man that released Jack from his jail cell is the same Asian man at the book club meeting. Damon and Carlton, are these hidden Lost Connection Easter eggs?
No.
Okay.
Carlton, when Juliet picks up the Talking Heads album, Speaking in Tongues, and puts it in the CD player, why does Petula Clark's Downtown start playing and not the Talking Heads? I used my TiVo to see the name of the album.
If you were to go through my CD collection and open the covers of my CDs, you would find that many of them contained CDs that were not on the cover. Like, here's the problem. You get in your car and you put CDs into your CD changer, but the one that you pop out, what do you do with it? Well, you stick it in the box, the jewel box of the one that you're putting in. So, like, I just, you know, took out a Jack Johnson CD, put in the new Bob Dylan CD in my car, so now I have a Bob Dylan CD case that's got a Jack Johnson CD in it.
It sounds to me like you just changed the song at the 11th hour and expected nobody to notice.
Well, I didn't say we didn't do that either.
Oh, right, but for those of you who really care...
Yeah, the Talking Heads song.
She put it in the wrong. Yeah.
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 Wasn't.
No.
No.
Right.
Okay. All right. So.
That's all my questions.
All right. Well, I have one more for you.
Oh.
This is actually a good one.
Oh, wait.
For
yeah.
You, Damon.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I didn't give proper credit back here for Ladies Love Sawyer. That was the poster who reviewed the. Found the Asian man connection. And then the Stephen King question was asked by Joe Sculptor.
Yes, and DX King MTM 11 asked the Talking Heads question, which elicited your jewel case response.
Thank you.
I actually want to do something a little fun with you now, Carlton. for your final question.
Okay.
By There Is No Spoon J. They're basically it's unsolved podcast mysteries here is the question.
Awesome.
Hey guys, here are some unsolved podcast mysteries I expect you to shed some light on, and I felt since we never answer any mysteries on the show, it might be nice to burn off these here with very succinct one sentence answers.
Okay.
That I will ask you and you will respond. So the first question is, what's the cross you had in your past? You teased that in a podcast and mentioned a photograph but never told us.
We had a cross that took place, like, what, 15 or 17, 18 years ago, and it's coming up in a video podcast. Chris, when is that going to be on?
Soon.
Soon.
Nice tease. Carlton, why does the city of Tallahassee hate you?
I don't know why they hate us, but they hate us, so we deservedly are hating them back.
Wow. There's a real feud here. I like
there
that.
Is.
Carlton, what happened in Damon's bar mitzvah? Remember that from the podcast where I said that was sort of my worst fear? That's what I would see if the monster confronted me.
Yeah.
That's what there would be flashes of.
Well, I think you have to tell us, don't you? I unfortunately didn't attend your bar mitzvah.
I think what happened in Damon's bar mitzvah, the answer to the mystery is Damon's bar mitzvah. That is the answer.
That in and
the
of itself was sheer, enough of a horror.
The sheer fact that it occurred is pretty much all there is to it. Next question. Who is that on the phone ringing in the back every frickin' time?
God knows. I mean, we've relocated for this podcast to Damon's office.
Where no one ever calls.
And the phone is not ringing in here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And finally, does Carlton own a tomato farm?
No, but I love tomatoes and Damon hates tomatoes. It's actually one of the few things that really differentiates us.
It does. If you ever couldn't tell the difference between Carlton and I, you need only offer a plate of tomatoes.
Or just...
And therefore, the person who takes the tomatoes is Carlton and the one who doesn't
it's the lunch order.
Me.
It's always like, I'm adding tomatoes and Damon's like, no tomatoes!
I have to read this part because... Yes. Plus, my friend Raven has a theory that Damon's pants are actually those stripper's pants that come off super quick. Any truth to that? And to that, I have one response, which is... Ah! Well, she wanted to know, and there you have it.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's chilly in here.
Thank you. See you next week.
In all the right ways. All right. Bye. Bye, guys.
That brings us to the end of this podcast. Be sure to check out abc.com, where you can submit your own fan questions. And if you missed the season premiere, you can also stream it there for free. Just go to lost.abc.com. Further instructions airs Wednesday, October 11th from 9 to 10:01 p.m. only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new, feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new, fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.